College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, that comment in there about going from Cleveland to Canton is what Browns general manager Andrew Berry has said, that there would be no stops in between, that he intended for Myles Garrett to be drafted a Cleveland Brown and to end his career as a Cleveland Brown. That has been the stance of the organization. Go back to the trading deadline. We reported that teams were interested in possibly trading for Garrett, and the Browns were adamant they were not going to trade him. They would not entertain offers, and they didn't at the time. My understanding is, despite this statement, the Browns are sticking to their stance, and they do not intend to have any conversations or trade Garrett. I was told that this morning in light of that statement that has been released, but Garrett making it clear that he wants out.
Mike Garafolo on the NFL Network. The Browns don't intend to trade Myles Garrett. You buying that?
No, I'm not. But this, so what they're doing is the opposite of what the Dallas Mavericks did. They're not going to sneaky trade him. They're like, all right, this guy put out that he, and I know it's apples to oranges because he's just demanded a trade publicly or requested a trade. But that's, of course, you're going to say, nope, we're keeping him. So now that means when you do call us, call with something serious. Like, call with something to for us to at least stay on the phone. You know, first round picks, multiple picks, maybe players, things like that. So, no, when these things happen, the player usually ends up getting dealt. But in this case, Cleveland's going to try to make sure they get the most for him.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a ton of stock in that either. The team is immediately saying, we don't intend to do it. But that also makes Myles Garrett, who's demanding a trade, look worse with Cleveland fans. They could be playing that game. They could be posturing when it comes to trying to get the most for a deal.
Like, as the you Cardinals, said, we're keeping Josh Rosen. He's our guy.
Right.
The next day, he was gone.
No, and as you said, it's unlike what the Mavericks did. There's a game and a delicate dance to be had here.
Yes.
So they could be doing some of the posturing there for sure. A reminder, WEEI's coverage of football's postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. Nobody does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. Now, Keith, we were poo-pooed by a Bills fan earlier today for even suggesting the Patriots could get in on a trade for Myles Garrett. You were reading me some odds off the air. Do you have those for potential destinations for Myles Garrett?
Yeah, let me double check. I think I got rid of those.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, the Pats weren't
on there. The Patriots were not doing super well.
Here we go.
A lot of the teams you'd probably expect were doing well.
Bookies.com put out their team odds. And this one even includes the Browns. Sometimes they do, like, if not on the team, but they actually include the Browns. Now, this is just to get, you know, money in probably or whatever. But the Detroit Lions are at the top of the list. It's big. It's still plus 350, meaning I don't think anybody has any real
feel for it yet.
Right, not yet. Yeah. So the Lions are first. The Chargers are second. Commanders are third. Staying with the Browns, fourth. 49ers, fifth. Eagles, sixth. The Field, seventh.
Okay, that's the Patriots.
And then the Falcons, eighth. And the Bills, ninth. So the Bills have their name on there, but they have a longer shot than the Field.
Okay.
So what did I say?
A longer shot than the Falcons?
Seven or eight teams in there.
Yeah. So the Patriots are the Field. That's seventh. But now you're fighting with all those other teams. That's
And those are all better
teams. That's not great. They're not singled out by name, the Patriots.
Those are all playoff teams with the exception of the Niners and the Falcons. And, you know, both of those teams you could say are closer to the playoffs than the Patriots are.
Falcons, definitely. Falcons came down to week 18.
Right. No, exactly. And then the Niners obviously have a pretty loaded team, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't be interested because he doesn't have a no trade clause. He can always pout and say, I'm not going to play for you, but or you can convince him. And if all these trade deals come across the Cleveland Browns desk, there's a chance the Patriots have the best offer. Even if I hope it doesn't include the fourth pick, but if you include the 38th pick and next year's one, that's probably better than most teams are going to offer.
I think if you want to guarantee yourself Myles Garrett, you offer the fourth pick.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, I think they can get him. Maybe it wouldn't be intelligent to offer the fourth pick. Maybe he'll go for much less. But you want to get him? He's got no say. He doesn't have a no trade clause. The only thing he could do is say, I don't want to get traded there and not show up and not sign and pull Hassan Reddick or something like that.
Now maybe this waits till closer till draft time.
Yeah.
Right? Because let's say Mike Vrabel's favorite player in the draft is Abdul Carter.
Yep.
And he goes
to the Browns
first.
Too.
Yeah, right.
Or number one overall to Tennessee.
Right.
Sure.
So it's like two quarterbacks and Abdul Carter are off the board. At that point, do you see what you can get in a trade down? Do you just take like Travis Hunter or somebody else that you like? Or all at that point, does it look a little bit better? Like the favorite guy, you couldn't get him. Like you couldn't trade up. You couldn't. They wouldn't do it. They just wanted Abdul Carter. Maybe at that point you do consider dealing the fourth pick, and then you wouldn't have to include a whole lot more. I mean, that is insanely valuable.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe at number four, you know, they see how the draft shakes out, and they go, look, we don't really want to move the fourth pick, but if one of the names we want, like Abdul Carter, isn't available to us, or Carter and Hunter both go, and those are the two guys we really wanted, and we can't swing a deal to move down, you know what? We think we're overpaying, but we'll do it. Fine. But Myles Garrett can go on and on about wanting to win. Some of that's probably just justifying leaving Cleveland. Like a Browns fan looks at it and goes, well, yeah, he's never going to win here.
Yeah.
So some of that might be lip service on his end, too. He might just want out of Cleveland. And you can say, well, yeah, I'm going to the Patriots where they have cap space and a quarterback and all these things. You can spin that a lot of different ways. So just because he says he wants to win doesn't mean he's automatically going to a Super Bowl favorite. And you can take a lot out of his hands. I mean, what's Detroit? Where is Detroit drafting? 30th? No, lower than that, 26, something like that. So, like, go ahead and line the picks up. And you can offer way more than Detroit.
Yeah.
So take that out of his hands if you want. Adam Schefter came up with a comp. He says a potential trade comp.
All right.
For 29-year-old Myles Garrett was the trade for 27-year-old Khalil Mack.
Oh, yeah.
Who was traded from Oakland to Chicago. The Bears gave up 2 first-rounders, a third, and a sixth. They got back Khalil Mack and a second, along with a conditional fifth. So that was one comp.
So that's confusing. So would you just say that would be 2 ones?
I think that's probably the easiest
like
way to
the look
at it.
Yeah. Kind of cancels out the 3 and the 5, yes. Maybe. And so 27-year-old Khalil Mack for 2 first-round picks. Now, I have to double-check, but
Mack had been a defensive player of the year, just like Myles Garrett. Was.
Although he was a stud.
2 years prior, just like Myles Garrett.
But let me just double-check.
The actual draft return, I'm looking that up, too. Where the picks fell.
Traded... This is by the Raiders with the second-round pick ended up being Cole Kmet. How do you like that?
It was a first-round pick, Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, but 24 overall.
24 and 19.
Okay.
Damon Arnett, who was out of the league almost immediately, and Josh Jacobs at 24. So those are not comparable to the fourth pick. The other thing that Chad Graff came up to, he has a Chad Graff, Patriots beat writer for The Athletic. He said you could trade this year's second, which I believe is 38, and a future first, meaning the 2026 first-rounder, not this year's. You would do that. You'd do 38 in next year's first.
So I still have my fourth pick for this year's draft to do it with whatever I want. You know, maybe they end up trading down and getting more picks, or they just take the guy they think is the best at 4 overall, and you're getting Myles Garrett. And so, yeah, you're missing out on a second rounder this year. I think you have 2/3 as it stands. So you still are going to be active there in night 2. Losing next year's number 1 pick obviously hurts, but if you're getting one of the 3 best defensive players in the NFL, you're going to have to give up something good. And if all goes as planned, that pick will be maybe 20, right? Like that's what we're talking about. Like the Raiders giving up the 24th pick, or I'm sorry, the Bears giving up the 24th pick. All right. That's a lot easier to swallow than if it's a top 10 pick.
Did we sell this short too? I hadn't even thought about this. Maybe you mentioned it and I missed it, Keith. Text line 617-779-7937. Vrabel should be on the phone right now with the Browns to see what it'll take. He does have a connection from being there. I hadn't even thought about that. He was in Cleveland last year. I completely forgot about that.
So there you go. So
I mean, I knew Myles he was there, Garrett, but yeah. I hadn't connected those.
So who knows what their relationship is? Maybe if it's good, does that give you a little bit of a leg up? I would say so. Okay.
Elliot Wolf was in Cleveland, so they certainly... They're certainly tied in with that organization. Maybe that doesn't work in their favor. Yeah. I have no idea.
But that's
a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Mm-hmm. Shame on me. When it comes to this offseason, I think more names like this being available is a good thing for the Patriots, whether they're in the Garrett sweepstakes or not. Those odds from bookies.com would tell you they're not.
Yeah.
We're speculating as to what it would take just to have fun with it. I don't know how realistic it is. But more names out there is a good thing. Like if Max Crosby is available to be dealt and Myles Garrett is available to be dealt, well, maybe some contending teams snap those guys up. Maybe that makes them less likely to be in on a free agent, mm-hmm. and a free agent drops into your lap, or a free agent that is considering the money versus winning and making a sacrifice is more prone to take the money because those other Super Bowl caliber teams have already gotten different guys. So the more supply available this offseason, whether you can really get Max Crosby, whether you can really get Myles Garrett, that is indirectly a good thing for the Patriots.
Well, because the Patriots should be able to, the question will be, will they pay these guys? They should be able to, though.
Yeah.
Like, that shouldn't be what stands
Kraft,
in the way.
Kraft has the means. Will he do it? I don't know, but he has the means.
So we don't
for
know.
Sure. Yeah.
And so you look at what the draft capital is, because you don't really have a lot of great players necessarily to trade, and that's not how most NFL trades work anyway. It does seem like it's picks for players. But then those players, how do you soften the blow of them getting traded to a four-win team? Like, you immediately sign them to a new deal. And, you know, rather than looking at the free agent market, and this is something Tom Curran's been on when we've had him on every Tuesday, is just, even if you got all the best players who are free agents, it's still like a B-minus type of crew,
yeah,
rather than like the star players where teams might have made up their mind that they can't re-sign them. Or in the case of Garrett, he's just asking for a trade. But they're not going to let the guy walk. Like, they're going to trade him. And then that's how you get the really good players.
They're going to cost more in terms of draft compensation and whatnot, and probably contracts as well.
Yep.
But
yep,
you're getting better players on the trade market than free agency. That is true. Dubs 985 on Twitch says, I'd easily do the second this year and the first next year if possible. He's
yes
with Keith. Meanwhile, text line 617-779-7937. Garrett's 29. Nah, I'm keeping the fourth overall pick.
All right.
Which I don't think you have to do the fourth overall pick.
No.
I'm just illustrating a point. You can trump the if you really want Myles Garrett, you can go knock it out of the park by offering that pick. Meanwhile, we talked a lot about the big trade in the NBA. One of a number of trades this weekend.
Busy
in the
time.
NBA. There could
wow
be more before the deadline. Jimmy Butler is still in Miami. Nick in the car wants to weigh in on the Luka trade from over the weekend. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. The Jays era of the Celtics has now broken the back of the process in Philadelphia. They've broken the back of the Durant big three for the Nets. They've broken the back of Heat culture and now Luka Magic for the Mavericks. So that speaks to having patience. I'm going to contradict myself in saying I don't think that was a terrible move, because maybe Nico Harris and whatever his name was watched the same finals that we did and realized that wasn't competitive. And there's a ceiling for that style of play where everything is all through the guard. The offensive numbers are amazing, but the defense just doesn't exist. We saw this 8 years ago with Harden and Westbrook. That's it. And I keep hearing how the Celtics had to play against a bunch of injured people to get to the Eastern Conference. What does that say about the Western Conference? When Joe Mazzulla's like big defensive adjustment to Luka was, yeah, any one of our guys, 1-5 or 6-15 on the bench, is just going to single cover him. And we'll take our chances.
Yeah, so Nick, I'd take that last part out where, you know, the Western Conference versus the Eastern Conference and the Celtics' path. The Celtics have forced a lot of teams to change how they're building and change their direction. And,
I love it. Actually, that's a good take. Yeah.
I do think the Mavericks clearly looked at it and said, we were in the finals last year. We're not good enough to beat the Celtics. So we're going to do one of two things. We're either going to retool it and try to get Kyrie and Anthony Davis to fit better on the floor, because mm-hmm Luka and Kyrie, even though they got to a finals, that doesn't really fit from a basketball standpoint. And maybe they don't really believe they can win a title, but they're going to try something different. I do think the Celtics broke up that Mavericks team. I agree with it. We can debate some of the other ones he brought up, but I do think they broke that up. The other thing I'd say, and I've said this
a
couple of times.
I got a meme idea. Go ahead.
Okay, go for it.
The Grim Reaper meme when he's walking down the doors and he's leaving the bloody trail. You could
Celtics
have Heat culture, the process, Kevin Durant with the Nets, and now Kyrie Luka on the Mavs.
Did the Celtics get credit for breaking up the Nets?
I think so. They beat them in the when did they beat them? Or they just kind of destroy themselves?
I mean,
saying?
They beat them in the
first. Well, that's when they swept them, and then
correct
they traded everybody.
They beat them in the first round when they went to the finals in 2022.
Okay. So, yeah.
They also lost to the Bucks the year before.
Yeah, but what was the last time they played together?
The last time they played together was that year.
That counts then.
Okay.
They put the nail in the coffin
right
on that.
Fair enough. I guess I hadn't thought that out as far.
Yeah.
Did they break up the process in Philly?
Well, the process.
They were one of the teams that kind of broke itself.
Still kind of, yeah, that was more Embiid's like foot and everything else. Like,
yeah,
that's more on them. But yeah, I mean, they're a mess.
The other thing, I said this a couple of different times today. Not normally my side of the street to play, complimenting the Celtics.
But.
And I think the last caller went too far with their patience and everything. But something to look at and respect and appreciate about Tatum and Brown is their conditioning, their ability to play just about every night. I mean, Jaylen has had some injuries over the years. Tatum pretty much posts every single night. Look at those two, the shape they're in, their games played, and then compare that to Luka, who's in his prime. He's 25. And already there's an injury. Already his conditioning looked poor in the NBA Finals a year ago. And you go, this is a guy who shouldn't be dealing with any of this yet. How's it going to look when he's 28? How's it going to look when he's 30? And not from a conditioning standpoint, but just how's his game going to age? And does that style work compared to, as the caller brought up, Westbrook, Harden, that level of play? So I think that's all fair to bring up, and I do think if you want to take a step back and appreciate Tatum and Brown for a moment, those are things we should appreciate compared to Luka.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, and you see how these teams feel like they're close, and then maybe they're not as close, and then they end up having to blow it up. And you know, even guys like Kyrie and Durant in particular, like bouncing from team to team, you know, Durant only being able to win with Curry, Kyrie only being able to win with LeBron. And yet you have these great players, and you're like, oh, this is it. This is what we need. And then no. And but it still doesn't let the Mavericks GM off the hook for the way in which this deal was done. Like, quietly in the night, making this deal with the Lakers, you're like, dude, you could have gotten so much more for him. And even if you wanted Anthony Davis, even if that was your guy that you cooked up, then you got to get more from the Lakers. Either a better couple of players coming back, certainly way more draft picks. They botched that completely.
We've been called out before, Keith, whether or not this show would last longer than Gerard Mayo's tenure in New England. We did outlast that one.
That's true.
I'm thinking we might outlast Nico Harrison in Dallas.
I think so. Yeah. He's got a couple months.
That doesn't even say much about this program.
No.
Put
that one on the board.
I think he is on borrowed time. And I like that trade more than most.
He even said that. So in the trade press conference, a trade in which he started.
Where right? Jason Kidd looked like he wanted to choke him out the whole time.
Correct.
Yeah, where he started
so
the whole thing.
So the GM who called Rob Pelinka and got that deal done. So he's the one that initiated the trade. And then he's like, yeah, I know. Like, we're going to be like buried.
I'm not going to be here.
Like, that's why the Keefspiracies fly all around. And you're like, does that sound like a guy that definitely wanted to make that trade? Feels great about making that trade?
Adam Silver has been talking about the ratings and fans not being as in on the product as they have been in the past, changing rules, the length of quarters, altering how often guys play and whether or not they're eligible for offseason awards. Talked about changing the three-point line, things like this. And all of a sudden, a potential ratings juggernaut drops out of the sky in the Lakers' laps. I'm willing to go there with the conspiracy, the Keefspiracies.
Oh, yeah.
As they were.
Something's up.
Meanwhile, the Patriots remain busy on their coaching staff. Billy Lanny will have more details on this coming up in trending. They were linked to Wes Welker over the weekend as their wide receivers coach. They bring in another Vrabel guy in Todd Downing, who was not a great offensive coordinator in Tennessee. He spent last year with the Jets. I don't feel great about that hire on its surface, but it is another Vrabel guy. A guy who used to be a coordinator, who's now a positional coach. That's one coaching move that they've made. I don't know your thoughts on that one, Keith, just on the surface. It's uninspiring, I would say.
It is, but I also look at...
But it's better than what they had there a year ago.
I agree, and I think it's a guy that works well with Vrabel, so I'll take that. And to me, it is guys across the board. Like Josh McDaniels, bad head coach, but he's your offensive coordinator. Doug Marrone, bad head coach, but he's your O-line coach. Todd Downing, not a great offensive coordinator, but he's your wideout coach. So it just speaks to the experience that they have on the staff. And if Vrabel's picking them, like I'll trust them to this point, see how they do. You're not really asking anybody to go, you know, over their heads, whereas last year, across the board, everybody was in over their head. You had a D coordinator who shouldn't have been, a head coach who shouldn't have been, an offensive coordinator who really shouldn't have been, let alone all the different position coaches.
And people were ripping that wide receiver, Tyler Hughes.
Yeah, he was getting crushed out of nowhere.
We heard his name way too much last year.
That's why I think the guys here are, you could even make the case they might be overqualified based on their resumes for all the jobs that they have.
The other coaching detail, and this was first from Mike Giardi. He had it over the weekend, and then Reese had a note on it in his Sunday notes. So that's now two reporters on the beat saying that Ben McAdoo is going to be working with the coaching staff again. He's one of five former head coaches on this coaching staff for Mike Vrabel, but he's going to be working on defense. As Reese put it, one possibility discussed is McAdoo's offensive background being tapped to help the defense.
It's odd. Usually when you have a guy that's been 20 years on one side of the ball and you switch him, you don't get great results, but...
So not only do they feel the need to keep this guy, which I don't really even get why they're doing that.
Memes. He did the memes. He's a bit of a cut-up, this guy.
The Top Gun Danger Zone memes is what he would do every week, as Mark Daniels reported from Mass Live. So not only is he back, they're moving him to defense?
I don't really get it either. But obviously Vrabel must like him, I guess, because he was allowed to get rid of everybody else.
Yeah.
So I don't think they were like, you have to keep him.
I don't. Yeah, I thought he was still being paid by the Giants or something. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's a contractual. I don't think.
Yeah.
But why is that guy still here? And why is he working on the defense? We'll try to make sense of that with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Maybe Hart and Fitzy has some theories on that. They come your way at 2 o'clock, part of WEEI Afternoons here on a Monday. We'll get you our clip du jour. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag Regina.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Yes, it is. Time for Grab Bag here on Jones to Keep WEEI. Stuff we couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program, including Tom Brady's got himself a new offensive coordinator with the Las Vegas Raiders. Of course, he hired Pete Carroll to be the team's next head coach and the offensive coordinator, another guy familiar with the NFL. That'd be one Chip Kelly.
I like it.
Love it.
I took a quick dig at Chip Kelly and I immediately regretted it.
How dare you?
Well, I was trying to.
What?
He's a visor guy. I was trying to throw that in Hart's face, yeah, one of these days.
That's
I took a quick swipe at Chip Kelly. I immediately felt bad about it.
Nope.
Chip Kelly or Josh McDaniels?
Chip Kelly.
Same.
Chip Kelly, New Hampshire guy. So I am a tad biased.
Yeah, you're biased.
But
you've bonded over the old, well, the former old man in the mountain. Now he's just a bunch of rubble kicking around the highway.
He's not there anymore,
Jones. But yeah.
Not necessary to bring that up. But Chip Kelly just led the Ohio State Buckeyes at offense to a national title. You can, you know, point at him and be like highs and lows as a head coach. Like McDaniel's just lows, but that's not the job. Neither one of these guys are being asked to be a head coach probably ever again. But is he a good offensive coordinator? I think so. And it's funny, teaming up with Pete Carroll, like, so many of these teams are going like young, like 35-year-old head coach, 30-year-old offensive coordinator. It's like, you know, give me Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly. Let's see what we got.
The geriatric Raiders.
Believe it or not, I kind of like the overall move more. I wasn't wild about the Pete Carroll hire because I was like, why would you bring this guy in just to get rid of him?
Look, I'm telling you.
Like, bridge coach is like, why not shoot a little bit higher than
Pete
that?
Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly, that's not for every organization.
I kind of like it.
But for the Raiders, for how down they've been and how talentless they are and how much they just need some structure, I actually think those are good hires. Both
who
of them,
they get to play quarterback?
Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson, probably.
Probably.
Nick Foles.
Aaron Rodgers.
Didn't Chip Kelly have a good year with Nick Foles?
He didn't
win the Super Bowl, but he was there for like the 20 touchdown, like one pick.
He's like a Pro Bowler, I think.
Yeah, he's good.
So, I don't know. I mean, is Rodgers a crazy one?
Yeah.
It is?
Nah, I mean,
I don't know how good he'd be. I'm just saying, is that a crazy one for them to swing at? Brady would want Aaron Rodgers late in his career?
No, it feels like it's going to be the same group of veteran guys that moved a year ago, right? Like Rodgers, Wilson, Kirk Cousins. Like, that's what you're looking at.
You can grab my back. Grab my back. My back. You can grab my back.
I think that's now my favorite.
You like that one the most?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like picking a favorite child. You know, you go through a different fits and starts, but I feel like that one's top of my list right now.
Yeah, that one is pretty good. Speaking of the Pro Bowl, Jones, I don't know if you watched any of it yesterday, but
highlights,
and you know who was a big part of it was one Drake May. A couple of touchdown passes, to the the other team. But when it was all said and done, the NFC defeated the AFC 76-63.
Ooh, low score for a flag football game. I think it's a low scoring game.
Flag football. There was also tug of war.
Oh, did they
do
that?
Did you see some of the hosses?
No, I did not.
So,
any awards? Any hardware we got to hand out?
No, I had it on in the background. It was on like mute. We're doing something else. So yeah,
Taylor Lindebaum. No,
it was 5-on-5.
Yeah,
you have AFC hosses versus NFC hosses.
Nice.
And they stood up on like a platform, and then they would pull each other into a foam pit.
Nice.
It looked like little kids' gymnastics. Is kind of what it looked
was
like.
Wipeout.
It was
like early days of the challenge.
Pro Bowl
these,
games.
These are like the challenges they used to do in like season 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Battle of the sexes, things like this.
I think if I remember correctly, the NFC was pretty good at tug of war.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah. Well, they got
AFC not as much.
Loaded with hosses over on that side.
Hoss everywhere you turn.
How'd Drake do?
He didn't do tug of war.
No. How'd he do in the Pro Bowl?
I told you, 2 touchdown passes, 2 touchdown to the other team.
I was stuck on the hosses. So the 2 to the other team, not pretty, including giving the defensive MVP to the guy on the other side. Not great.
No.
My mom always said, life was like a box.
Grab bag.
Never know what you're going to get.
Well, we have a response from Luka Doncic's father.
Oh.
In regards to the trade.
Hmm.
It had to be translated, so I will just read you what he said. Let's see. Quote, I understand there comes a moment when you disagree with a certain philosophy. You don't like this or that player. All good. I get it. But I think that exactly this... Oh, here we go. I think that exactly this secrecy, or should I say from some individuals, maybe even hypocrisy,
oh boy,
this hurts me personally because I think that Luka absolutely doesn't deserve this.
What doesn't he deserve? The ridicule? Like the criticism? Like you're going to the Lakers.
Sneaky being traded, I guess?
What? Yeah, what
being traded on the sly?
What wouldn't you be happy about?
I don't know.
I see. Like him not being informed.
I think not being involved at all.
Okay, that's fair.
He was asked about Luka. Yeah, go ahead.
I believe Luka didn't know. That I believe. That's the only reason you would only negotiate with one team. I believe Luka didn't know. There's zero chance LeBron didn't know.
Like, I mean, please.
Like, none.
Please.
But, okay, if that's what he's saying, I guess I agree with it. But at the end of the day, even if you didn't know about the trade and you feel a little insulted by that, even if there's ridicule about, your lack of drive, your build, your all these things that he's getting criticism for, you're still a Laker at the end of the day. I feel like that's a win for Luka and his family.
Although you're not getting that Supermax deal.
No, that's
and that,
true, too.
That probably needs to be looked at.
He is probably pissed about that.
In all seriousness, if you do everything in your ability, your first team All-NBA every year for the last 5 years, and then after this year, you're going to be set to sign a Supermax deal for whatever the huge number is, and then if they trade you to another team, even if that team would want to pay you that, they can't? That's weird.
It is. It's to incentivize small, not that Dallas is small market, but to incentivize smaller market.
But it's like, you could see it if it was maybe you're trying to prevent guys from demanding trades. I'm like, hey, maybe you're more likely to stay here. But that's not the case with Luka.
That's probably, I mean, I get what you're saying. To me, is it worth leaving some money on the table to be a Laker?
Yeah, because he'll probably get it back.
I think
he probably will.
You said that earlier. He's going to be more marketable in L.A.
Luka's dad was also asked about his conditioning.
Oh.
And he said, wasn't even a problem last year since, I am saying again, one individual said he's not fit enough, that he played, I don't know, 100 games, practically 40 minutes with two or three players constantly on him, that he was beaten, and you say such things about him. I feel that this is very unfair from certain individuals. You traded him, stand by your actions, but don't look for excuses or alibis. That's it.
Look, nobody needs a weird Cali diet more than that guy. Like that, he needs a get on.
Don't touch it.
Eat the seaweed.
Yeah.
Like he needs that kind of weirdo diet. So that LA is gonna be good for him.
Or maybe he'll be like when Vlade Divac was at LA, on LA, just smoking butts. Just great passer. You think he was hitting the weights and stuff?
No, probably not. That's true. Yeah. And eventually, that guy got traded for Kobe.
Grab bag.
Huge news in the Keefe's Keys department as Pro Football Hall of Famer Tony Boselli has been named the executive vice president of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Of course, Bruce Smith thinks he shouldn't. But, big news for a one-time Hoss of the Week, Tony Boselli.
See, now this is a good sign for the Keys that I'm sure people were putting this story on your radar left and right. So that's a good sign for the Keys.
Is he going to be the first two-time Hoss of the Week?
Ooh. No, I'm not ready to give it out yet.
Yeah, it's Monday.
It's Super Bowl
Nick.
Week. Yeah. It's Monday. I can't give out Hoss of the Week just yet.
We're not sending out the trophy quite yet.
No.
No.
Grab bag. How can I resist? Ain't looking for nothing but a grab bag.
Baseball signing. We have a baseball signing.
Red Sox?
Not by the Red Sox. No. The Detroit Tigers are bringing back Jack Flaherty. 2 years, $35 million. Which seems real light for Flaherty.
Yeah, agreed.
He's better than that, isn't he?
So... does that take the one thing I would wonder is, does that take the Tigers out of the Bregman sweepstakes? It probably doesn't put the Red Sox back in it, but you'd imagine the Tigers aren't spending on him and Bregman.
So the Sox spent more money on Lucas Giolito than the Tigers did on Jack Flaherty?
Correct.
Huh? Am I wrong? Isn't Flaherty pretty good?
If that's all Flaherty's getting, he is.
Yeah.
If that's all Flaherty's getting, shouldn't the Red Sox have been in on him?
Yes.
And I'm telling you, they're done. Probably, period, but they're done with their rotation. The way... both Breslow and Sam Kennedy, among others, have talked about their rotation. They think they're done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that. I don't agree with that. I would keep adding to the rotation. And Flaherty was an easy one. He was not my favorite pitcher. I'm not like pounding the table. They should have signed him. But that's a worthwhile deal. Red Sox should have done it.
Grab bag.
Alabama has a new offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb.
Oh.
Ryan Grubb, who worked with Kellen DeBoer in Washington in 2022 and 2023, is going to reunite with him. He was with the Seattle Seahawks last year as their OC.
He was a collegiate coach for Jalen Polk. And, didn't get
more out of Polk, though.
Yeah, that's true. He did get more out of Jalen Polk.
Did Michael Penix spin in it.
Did not have a good offense last year in Seattle. I'm surprised he only got 1 year. That's quick for an offensive coordinator on a team that wasn't a complete disaster.
Yeah.
They weren't like a four-win team. They were 500-ish. They were in the playoff mix. But so he's going back to college football.
It sure is.
The wonder of the grab bag. Take the chance, make it grab bag. Pop a cork, fingers grab bag. Spin the wheel, round and round grab bag. Life is grab, life is bag. Grab bag yourself a front grab bag. Let's meet and have a grab bag. Yeah, let's live for the wonder of the grab bag.
Grammys were last night. We hit on it briefly. Beyonce got Album of the Year. People were kind of fired up about that.
Cowboy Carter
polarizing a little bit. Taylor Swift didn't win, but she was cheersing everybody's champagne. She seemed to be having a good time.
Yeah, she's pretending to be happy for everybody. Yeah.
Kanye West showed up with his girlfriend who was practically naked.
Yeah.
And what else I missed?
And Ben was asked to leave.
Although that's been reported that might have been a
false
disputed. Report.
Yeah, he might have just left on his own and not been asked to leave.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well,
what were you telling me that the photographers were saying to her?
Oh, if you watch the video of Kanye's girlfriend there, naked on the red carpet, she's got like a mink coat on or whatever
she showed up with like very much clothes.
So she has this coat on and she's got her back to the camera people and they're like, hey, show a little shoulder. And she starts dropping it down and then she drops the whole thing to the ground. She's basically buck-ass naked.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, my. wanted a little shoulder.
Put that back on.
And she spins around.
Yeah.
And you're like, woof.
I saw everything.
I'm picturing it. I'm still seeing it right now to this very second.
I've seen everything.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right.
None of you seem to understand. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with grab bag.
All right, Double Dork podcast tonight. Two dorks for the price of one. We're going to do Severance Season 2, Episode 3. I know a show you recently started getting on Season 1.
No football this weekend. Yep. I'm maybe halfway through Season 1, so I'm not to where you guys are, but I'm trying to catch up. Yeah,
wild show. And then we're also going to preview some more movies coming out. Last week we did the releases January through June, so you guessed it, July through December. But you can hit us up at Dork Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We'll be streaming it live on YouTube tonight, 8:45, and then it'll be available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You know what?
Is this your
grab bag,
Blaring? Is this your
grab bag,
Blaring?
Look, man.
Dude, please.
All right, best NBA performances from last night. Jason Tatum, part of a 26-point comeback. He had 35 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists in the win over the Sixers. Giannis went for 30, 11, and 7. Nikola Vucevic, triple-double for the Bulls, 20, 11, and 10. Tyrese Maxey in a losing effort, 34 points, 6 assists. And Jalen Duren, 21 points, 13 rebounds for Detroit in a win over the Bulls.
I guess I'll go. They were down 26 to Philly, which I don't love, but I'll go Tatum.
You got
to
go Tatum.
Yeah.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random. Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, gentlemen, we're talking about a first baseman who played for the Cubs, Marlins, Orioles, Braves, Pirates, Padres. Righty stick, righty arm.
Okay.
And had a cup of coffee, 1997. His final year in the majors was 2011. He was a 2-time All-Star, 3-time Gold Glover.
Wow.
Won a Silver Slugger and a batting title.
Can you give me the average when he won the batting title?
335.
Whoa.
Where he finished.
Eric Lee.
Oh!
He got it!
Nick!
From the clouds!
Wow, Nick!
Derek. He said it like a couple clues before. Like, I don't know what
back
you
there?
Yeah, yeah,
I was trying to figure it out.
He was thinking out loud.
Billy, you should have sniped
him.
No,
I couldn't.
Derek Lee!
Nick!
Because I didn't think it was that many teams.
Wow!
Yeah, I didn't think it was that many teams.
I think Derek Lee, I think Cubs.
Cubs.
But, I mean, obviously he played other teams. I didn't think it was that many.
Derek Lee, this proves...
Won a World Series with the Marlins.
Okay, this proves you played fantasy baseball, though, in an era. This was a first baseman who would swipe some bags, right?
He had a run in the middle, 19, 21, 12, 15.
Nice. That's useful. That's when your first baseman stealing you 15 bags a year, that's something right there.
He had a 46 dong season.
Yeah, he did.
Which is like far and away his highest.
Nice.
Actually, I'm sorry. He had a 35 as well.
Yeah, not bad. Don't sleep on that.
A couple big years for Derek Lee.
Derek Lee?
A.K.A. D. Lee, they called him.
I liked Carlos Lee, not to be confused with Derek Lee.
Sure. I liked Cliff Lee.
Carlos Lee, nice player, same era.
I like Bruce Lee.
I like Lee Greenwood.
Not to be confused
Lee
with
Smith?
Bruce, but not Bruce Smith.
No.
No, we don't like him.
No, not Bruce.
No. I don't like him on this show. But there you go. That is a Derek Lee.
Derek Lee. Derek.
Another Derek shout out. Wow. How about
so
that?
So many Derek's.
And how many Nick, Derek's have we had?
When it's a random baseball player of the day named Derek. Nick's all over.
Nick's on it.
No doubt about
good
it.
Good stats.
So there you go. That is our random baseball player of the day each and every day in the grab bag. Stay tuned. We'll check in with WEEI Afternoon, see what they have coming up, and we'll get you our clip du jour next.
All right, time now for the clip du jour here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones, are you ready for that?
Sounds great. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It is the clip of the day. And today, of course, we're talking a lot about the Luka and Anthony Davis trade. And I found somebody on Twitter who had a great pop culture comp for Luka Anthony Davis. The best one I saw was because some woman was like, can you please explain this to me? Like, I have no idea about basketball or whatever. And she's like, it's like if Destiny's Child traded Beyonce to TLC for Chili.
Somebody sent me that one, too.
That's a good one.
It's like
it is like that.
Chili is now in Destiny's Child
for Beyonce.
And Beyonce's in TLC.
Chili's good, but you had Beyonce.
Look, Chili's no slouch.
No.
She ain't Beyonce.
She don't want no scrub. But yeah, and then you end up getting Beyonce out of the deal. Like that's a crazy trade.
That's a wild trade. That happened. That is a crazy trade at the end of the day. Good for Beyonce, by the way. Another Grammy. We were all like, boy, when's she gonna win Album of the Year? She's so deprived.
It's controversial.
When it comes to winning these things.
A lot of the Caitlin Clark fans are not happy about this.
No, I imagine
the internet was not thrilled.
Yeah,
that did not.
This was a country award.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of honkies.
That's why.
People were
up in arms. People were mad. People were mad on the internet. They usually are mad on the internet. But no, because we were also talking about that because Adam Schefter tried to jump in and steal the NBA spotlight. And he's like, oh, this is crazy. This is like if Lamar got traded for Burrow. And you're like, actually, it's not like that at all.
No. The
Chili, these guys are
Chili for Beyonce one is a much more accurate representation.
Much different ages. Also, you never in a million years would have thought Luka Doncic would even be traded.
No, it's true.
To anybody. And you even mentioned before, like different positions. It's not the
Burrow and Lamar
swap.
Are the same age, same position. In the same division.
Yeah, like okay,
none of the same
wild.
Things. Good try though, Schefter. He'll be on WEEI Afternoons later. Oh, or is he done for the year? Has he got one more week, or is he done?
Es todo nada más.
Okay, that's Spanish.
Yeah, what does that
mean?
It's all nothing more. No, he's not. We said goodbye last week. Our goodbyes, our sad goodbyes.
No say. Okay, good. So what do you guys have coming up today? You talking Super Bowl? You talking this trade? What are you talking?
A little bit of both. We'll probably touch on the Myles Garrett as well, as intriguing as he is. I don't know how much sense it makes. I've already seen some of the aggregation accounts like, Patriots send a second round pick for Myles Garrett. Who says no? And I was like, the Browns?
Probably the Browns. Probably Cleveland.
Seems easy. Now, you guys.
Joe Milton for Myles Garrett, straight up.
Right.
Yeah.
I heard you guys tiptoe into it. Could you do a two? Next year's one? I've already seen some quoted executives saying it's going to be a first round pick and something else. Probably not multiple first round picks, but.
Do you think four is too much?
Yeah. I think when you take into account the longevity and financial implications of that pick, I think that's too much. But I'm burying the lead here because today we'll have John Corrales at 3:30, which is great, great guest. But tomorrow at 4:30, you might have heard of him.
Andrew Raycroft.
Who is most responsible for kickstarting the Patriots dynasty?
Oh, Ted Johnson.
Scott
Sisson. Already going to be there. Matt Barr?
Matt
Barr.
Not Miss Sisson.
I love Matt Barr.
How about
Adam Vinatieri?
Adam Vinatieri, 4:30 tomorrow, nice. WEEI Afternoons.
Nice.
In the week that I think we all believe he's going to be earn a nomination for the Hall of Fame.
And today was the anniversary, right?
Super Bowl 36. So the snowball, Super Bowl 36, game-winning kick. We'll talk to Adam Vinatieri tomorrow.
I love it.
We'll also talk to Dave Rothenberg, who is the producer of The Verdict. The final episode will air tomorrow. Not sure how much you guys have taken a look at that. We've watched a bunch of it, obviously, because Ted was in both of the first two episodes, which was a little bit of an upset alert that he was in the making a case for Belichick, the second episode. Didn't see that coming, but he made a case for Bill Belichick. So, yeah, we got a
busy week.
They
didn't do a credit pie, did they, on there?
No, it didn't come down to percentages because that, I mean, it might have gotten more attention had they had done
they
that.
They probably should have, actually.
10% upgraded to 15.
They kind of did like an aftermath episode where then all the percentages changed. They could have done that after.
But old friend Christian Fourier's also been in it, looking very comfortable in tan. It was funny. Ted Johnson, suit, dressed up. Christian Fourier looked like shorts and a t-shirt. Maybe he rode his scooter over
Interesting.
To it.
Right.
So, yeah, big show today, though, with John Corrales at 3:30. This NBA trade, obviously.
It's awesome.
I know we pretend we're stunned in sports. This was legit stuff.
No, this was a shock.
Legit,
to wake up to it on Sunday morning, it was surprising.
You're checking to see if this is a joke. Yep. Are these check marks real? Like, I guess people even asked Shams if he had been hacked. He was getting inside
like
the NBA.
Yeah.
Have you been hacked? And he's like, nope, that's the trade.
This is real. Yeah.
And I'll compare it to a Patriots trade where I think some people complained it was executed in similar fashion
Garoppolo
in the past.
Garoppolo for a second round pick.
That would be the one.
Yeah. Nailed it.
I mean, when you don't actually
maybe
shop
tell the rest
an asset,
of the league,
and then later you find out, well, I would have given this. All right, have we gotten any of those yet? That's what I'm looking forward to. You might get some whispers or reports of
that's got
to
be coming.
We would have given 4 first round picks and 2 all stars or whatever. So I'll be interested in that.
So that and more today. WEEI afternoons. They got Adam Vinatieri tomorrow at 4:30. Mark it down. You can listen live on the Odyssey app. Crossover brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You can visit the Nines Monday through Wednesday for their newest, biggest, big deal meal. Your favorite chicken and sausage al forno is back at the Nines for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday. You gotta love the Nines. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. It's Tier Tuesday. It's Tommy Tuesday. You got Kiefer Madness tomorrow on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.